Can we please talk about Alistair Overeem taking on Alexander Volkov? It's going down tonight, people. And you know what we love here at the Burt Locker? We love a heavyweight fight. And if honestly, in the heavyweight division in the UFC, the standard does not get much better than Alistair Overeem taking on Alexander Volkov. This is going to be an excellent fight. There are also some other very good fights on this card that I'm going to be going into and breaking down, because there's a few underdogs that I think have a really good chance of making good here. And, you know, because the thing is with MMA betting is that the underdogs often come in, right? It's about picking, like, the underdogs that actually do come in. Do I usually pick those guys? No, that's why they're called terrible bets. But you know what? They're the kind of odds that I like, because we keep those odds long and we keep those bets terrible here at the Burt Locker. So let's start off with just a little bit of news, because obviously there were no fights last week, so I've got no terrible bets to recap. Next week, we can have all the fun of looking at how bad my bets have gone. And yeah, we'll have a look at those next week. But this week, just one thing that I've seen in the news is a couple of episodes back, I think it was episode 53, irrelevant, I did make some suggestions for some future matchups. And one of those matchups was Donald Cerrone against Diego Sanchez, because it makes sense as a fight, doesn't it? They're both, you know, with respect, they're both coming to the end of their careers. Neither of them have had a particularly good run of form lately, and it's a fight that's winnable for both of them. And to be honest, it's a loser retires fight. But let's be realistic, the winner could very well retire as well. Because if you want to go out on a win, Matt Brown said it when Matt Brown fought Diego Sanchez. I remember in the interviews, like, building up, it stuck with me because I just thought it was hilarious. Like, they asked, why did you want Diego Sanchez as your last fight? And he just said, because I want to go out on a win, which is blunt. And, you know, is it a little bit disrespectful to Sanchez? Maybe. But, Sanchez is, actually, I don't think it's a style that's very good for Cerrone, if I'm totally honest, because it's Sanchez, he's a hurricane. He's a hurricane of chaos, man. And he is going to go forward and he's going to swing. And Cerrone is a notoriously slow starter. I actually think that... Now, Cerrone, he's going to open up as a favourite in this one. I almost guarantee it. Like, I would be willing to put money down. Now, the odds aren't out for this fight yet, but I would be willing to put money down that Cerrone is going to be the favourite going into this matchup. Now, I actually quite liked Sanchez for this one, because Cerrone's kind of been rumbled, hasn't he? Like, people know that if you blitz him really quick in the first round, you'll probably put him away, because he's just a notoriously slow starter. But if you let Cerrone get into the fight, if you let him get into those second and third rounds, he is going to spell disaster for you. So I'm probably going to place two bets on this one. Two bets on this one. I'm going to have Sanchez first round KO and Cerrone third round KO. Now watch it end. Now watch it go to a decision. Do you know what I mean? But either way, that's a fun fight. And that's going to be a really good one for the fans, because it pays homage to two great fighters who are having I've got an enormous amount of respect for both of these guys. I really do. And because, you know, Sanchez is OG all the way, isn't he? He's first season Ultimate Fighter OG. And Cerrone, obviously, he's been around a long time. He's fought the best. He's had his ups, he's had his downs. Both of them have had their ups and downs with respect to them. I think have they both had title shots? I don't think Cerrone ever got to a title shot, did he? I know Sanchez got to a title shot against BJ Penn. BJ Penn kicked him in the head and opened him up so bad. That was a good... If you want to see a really good BJ Penn performance, go back and watch his title defense against Diego Sanchez. It was a good one. Watch it now. Thank me later. The other fight that is apparently now in the works is GSP versus Khabib. Because they alluded to it on the Michael Bisping podcast. And I did think that, you know, GSP said that he would come back for that fight, otherwise he is retired. And apparently, from various sources, I've seen it all over the place. It would take too long to list all the sources that have got this from, but you've probably seen it already. If you're a fan of MMA, you've seen it on your Twitter feed that apparently they've got this fight in the works. Now, I've got a couple of questions for this. Number one is, what weight is this going to take place at? Because Khabib did say on Bisping's podcast that he's not going to get down to 155. He just can't make that cut. He said that as he's getting older, he's finding it harder and harder to get that weight down, and it's going to have to be at 170. And that means there's a lot of unknowns going into this fight. I don't even know who would open as the favourite, because I think you've got to think that Khabib would open as the favourite, never been beaten, and he's looked fantastic his entire career. However, my only criticism of Khabib, and it's a big one, is that he never really went up and challenged himself. Like, he's always struggled to make that weight. He's always struggled to make 155. Like, he's had some very high profile points where he's missed weight, and you know, the whole tiramisu gate, you know, all of that is just, it made me think that yeah, he fights at lightweight because he has the size, and because it's not like he's a huge guy. Well, he is, he's big, but he's got a strength and a size advantage, more of a strength advantage really at 155 compared to other 155ers, and that is where he presses his advantage. But he's never really taken the risk of going up a weight class, because I don't think he would necessarily still hold that advantage. And it's a big one, it's a significant point, and it's a significant point that definitely needs to be addressed when you're looking at him possibly taking on George St. Pierre at 170 pounds. All of a sudden, the sizes are kind of much more even. They're both guys that can make that weight. And GSP is no slouch when it comes to wrestling. Could GSP Khabib? That's the question, isn't it? Could GSP take Khabib down and keep him there and just do what GSP does and land his ground and pound? Maybe look for the submission and just smother Khabib. I think that there's a chance that he could, because whilst GSP, he is retired, it's not like he's ancient. He's not like, you know, he's not so old now that it's outside the realms of possibility that he could come back and have a competitive matchup. I mean, it was only a couple of years ago that he came back and beat Michael Bisping for the middleweight title. And yeah, and that was a competitive fight. I mean, Bisping gave him all he could handle and more. And it's one that I'll go back and watch. It's a really fun fight to watch. But GSP, he looked good. He looked sharp, you know? So if he comes back looking that sharp against Khabib, no, Khabib could be in trouble. Because if it's at a weight that he's where his advantages are slightly mitigated, and you're going against somebody who's as skilled as George St. Pierre, that's a really interesting fight, and it is one that I would definitely pay to watch. So watch this space. Hopefully we'll see that one in 2021, maybe early 2022. And right, so the other thing that's hit the news, I did touch on this last week, the whole Casey Kenny thing where he basically made some disparaging comments. They weren't even that bad. I watched the interview. The only reason I watched it is because Megan Anderson retweeted it. I'd have never even known about it if she hadn't have retweeted it. I don't know why I'm going with an upwards inflection on everything. But what I'm saying is that She tweeted her outrage, saying, oh, I guess it's just okay in the UFC for co-workers to make disparaging comments about, about others and get away with it. It's like, well, number one, the comments didn't take place in the UFC. The comments took place on a private podcast. No one forced you to listen to it. Nobody tied you up and forced you to listen to it, right? And number two, what he said, it was his opinion, and he was trying to be funny. There was no malice in there. Do you know what I mean? And he has come out and apologised about it. And to be honest, I don't think it's Megan Anderson that's getting that uptight about it. I've just seen so many people getting butthurt about it online. It's like, guys, you're a fan of a sport where people punch and kick each other in the face for money, and you're getting sensitive about this shit? Come on. Come on. You know, just pick yourself up. Be like, why are you letting, like, the people are saying, oh, he should be pulled from the card and he should be given a lower rate. Like, it should be, someone even said, hey, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. It's like, no crime has been committed. What, the crime that he, all he said was that he thought, so someone asked, would he sleep with Megan Anderson? And then he says, maybe at 4 a.m. if it was like the last option. He was trying to be funny, it missed the mark slightly, but bottom line is, he was giving his opinion. Do you know what I mean? It's the question that was actually, that was the issue here. And he didn't ask the question, he just answered it. And he has come out and apologised. I don't really think, this whole cancel culture bullshit. Jesus Christ. And some people have said, oh, well, you know, it's not even just that he was disparaging. It's like you know, women are tired of being objectified. It's like well, I don't think that speaks for all women, because to be fair, like Megan Anderson, she is a good looking girl. She just is, right? And if you didn't want to be objectified, then why is every third picture on your Instagram you in your lingerie? If you don't want people commenting on people on pictures of you in your knickers, possibly stop publicly posting pictures of you in your knickers, because you're posting them on there so that the public can see them, and so that you can get the comments. And sometimes you'll get good comments, sometimes you'll get disgusting comments, sometimes you'll get bad comments, because it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, is it? And if you only wanted certain people to see those pictures, send them in a private fucking message. Do you know what I mean? It's just, Jesus Christ, when did people get so sensitive? I'm getting sensitive about people getting sensitive about it. It's bizarre. Anyway, enough about that, because I'll probably end up upsetting some more people. But either way, I just find it completely bizarre that people get kind of get on their high horses and start trying to cancel people, start trying to stop people from making a living because they tried to be funny on a podcast and missed the mark slightly. It's fucking ridiculous. So the best thing that she could have done, rather than getting all upset about it, number one, she's got a fight against Amanda Nunes coming up. Focus on that. You've got a decent chance of winning that. Decent chance of being the champion of the world soon enough. Surely that should be taking your focus. Surely what you should have said is like, because Casey Kenny, what is he, like 5'5", 5'6"? He's one of the smaller fighters. Maybe you could have said something disparaging about that. Say, hey, you have to be this high to ride this guy. You know, you're in your dreams. Something like that, rather than letting it have that power over you and just coming out and saying, oh, you know, this is a disgusting behaviour and blah blah. And the people coming out and pointing the finger and saying, yeah, they should cancel Casey Kenny, they're all just basically saying, hey, look at me, Megan. Look at me. Look at how I've got your back. Look at how I'm defending you. Fuck off, clean shirt. Get fucked. Good God. You're not fooling anybody. You're not fooling anybody. Jesus Christ. Anyways, right, I've spoken about that enough. I'm going to just move on. Troll of the week. Right, these ones are pretty funny, right? So, first one up here, you've got Bellator Fight Island. Obviously, everybody knows UFC Fight Island by now. It's all glitz and glamour, and it's on Yas Island. It's just no... Joey, they spared no expense, as Mr. Hammond used to say in Jurassic Park. They literally... It just looks outstanding. So the Bellator is obviously the budget version of the UFC, and they've sort of made this joke. Yeah, Bellator Fight Island is just these guys on this really crummy beach. I'm assuming that's New Jersey. It looks very New Jersey-esque. I mean, it looks very similar to the episode of Always Sunny where they go to the Jersey Shore. So, yeah, I'm going to assume it's New Jersey, but either way, made me laugh. That is funny. Another kind of Bellator related one, actually. We've got Tyrone Woodley. I think it's a fake Dana White account. He's just tweeted this picture to say Tyrone Woodley is one loss away from a Bellator title shot. And you know what, Joe, as funny as that is, that might not be far from the truth, because I mean, Tyrone Woodley is taking on Ponzinibbio, isn't it? Oh no, Vicente Luque. Sorry, yeah, he's taking on Vicente Luque in his next fight, and that's a dangerous fight. That's a danger. That is not a gimme by any stretch of the imagination. You know, wish him the best. I actually do like Tyrone Woodley, but wow. Yeah, once you've lost that many fights in a row, it's hard to justify that contract, and the UFC are making cuts. So yeah, he could very well be in a Bellator title shot sooner rather than later. And this next one, it's kind of a combination of one. I mean, I don't know why. I don't know how so many people got upset with me over this. Basically, I'll post a picture here. So it's a picture of Ryan Hall on the right, and he's in his UFC gi. You can see he's a UFC fighter, and then it's got a bodybuilder on the other side. And it's that age-old comparison thing of, hey, can you try telling like someone who doesn't watch MMA that the guy on the right would actually beat the guy on the left, or the guy on the left would beat the guy on the right. And it's just like, yeah, no shit. No fucking shit. It's just such an obvious, stupid thing. And all I did was point out that, look, it's a stupid, like, comparison to make in this day and age, because most people kind of understand that it's like, look, it's like, hey, look, see the guy that's trained in mixed martial arts? Can you believe that he would beat the guy who's not trained in mixed martial arts in a mixed martial arts contest? Oh my God, no, I never would have thought that in a million years. Yeah, no shit. No, shit, it's a stupid, like, that is a stupid, stupid thing to fucking say. It's just, and thing is, I think people were understanding, were misunderstanding what I was saying, because I was surprised that so many people got upset about it, to be fair. It just seemed a bit bizarre. It seemed to really have struck a nerve. I mean, it entertained me for a couple of hours, but it's just like, wow. Because a lot of them were saying, hey, just because you're too stupid to understand the concept of the meme, it's like, no, I understand it. I just think it's a stupid comparison to make, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's like, because look, you can clearly see he's wearing UFC gloves and he's a UFC fighter. So yeah, in a UFC fight, he's going to beat that bodybuilder. But what if you stuck him in a deadlifting contest with the bodybuilder? I bet the bodybuilder would probably win. It's a stupid, obvious comparison. It's fucking obvious. So I then went back with this. It's like, because it's the same equivalent. There's Phil the Power Taylor on one side and I think it's Ronnie Coleman on the other side. And it's just like, hey, can you believe that the darts player on the left would beat the non-darts player on the right in a game of darts? Whoa! Unbelievable! Just fuck it. Because that's the same thing. It's the same exact comparison. Someone even came back to me on that and said, yeah, but what you put there is stupid because you're taking two things that are just completely different and it doesn't really compare to the original like thing. It's like, yeah, so in what respect is deadlifting and powerlifting the same as MMA? What are the similarities there? So I know I'm waiting. Oh, what's that? Silence? Oh, because there aren't any. Yeah, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. But yeah, so anyway, it entertained the fuck out of me. And yeah, Joe, I had some fun with it. But yeah, let's move on to the fights this weekend. So there are three fights that I'm focusing on here because there's one here on the undercard. Mr. Mike Rodriguez taking on Daniel Marquez. Now, this one, you've got Mike Rodriguez coming in as a heavy, heavy favourite here. And I wonder why that is because there's quite a lot of hype behind Rodriguez. But his last fight out, he actually lost to Ed Herman via Kimura, right? And he's got a patchy record at best. It's not like he's beaten like this list of like elite level fighters. So I don't understand completely why he's such a heavy favourite. Maybe I'm missing something here because if you look at Danilo Marquez, I think he is tailor-made to kind of beat Rodriguez in a way because Rodriguez is shown he's got a weakness, not a weakness to submissions, but he's definitely susceptible because he has been submitted. He got submitted in his last fight. And now he's taking on, like, the guy he's taking on is 6'6". He's a brown belt under Damian Maia. Now, if Ed Herman can find the Kimura, then the 6'6" Damian Maia Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt can certainly find a submission from somewhere, I would think, right? And the submission, 650. Plus, that's like 5.5 to 1. I like that as a bet. That is a decent bet. Don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, thing is, this is MMA. It's unpredictable. But I mean, I could see that, dude. He's 6'6", so he's a big, long guy. He could, you know, if he can just get a clinch, which he probably can, because it's hard to get away from someone who's that big. Joey, you know, get a clinch, get down to the ground, and you know, take an arm. He's had his arm taken before, so clearly there is at least a weakness there, or there was last time out. So yeah, I'm having a go. Danilo Marquez by submission. Boom. That's what I'm going with. Terrible bet. And then you've got Corey Sandhagen taking on Frankie Edgar. Now, this is the co-main event. This one, I'm very interested in. Because Frankie Edgar is coming in a +4 underdog. So he's roughly 3-1 against. And that is disrespectful for a fighter who is the caliber of Frankie Edgar. Now a lot of people will be thinking, hey, Bert, you're a fucking idiot. Do you know what I mean? Like, Frankie Edgar's done. He's washed up. Actually, he is not as washed up as you think. He really isn't, right? In his last 13, he's 9-4. 9-4 is not that bad. That's a career in itself. 9-4 is a career. Do you know what I mean? People forget how good Frankie Edgar is. He is very, very good. He's found a little bit of a reinvigoration, a new weight class, because he was always small at lightweight, and he still managed to win the belt there. He's done an awful lot on the sport. His losses in that last 13, by the way, are Holloway, Ortega, Aldo, and Sung Jung, right? There is no shame in any of those losses. All of those guys fall into the elite caliber bracket if you look at what those guys have done in the sport. The real question is, does Corey Sandhagen fall into that elite bracket? With a win over Frankie Edgar, maybe he does. But currently, no. currently, he doesn't have the body of work that those guys have. Like, the only thing that he's done lately is get submitted by Aljamain Sterling. Now, Aljamain Sterling is a fantastic fighter, and he could very well be the next bantamweight champion. But, like, the fact remains that Sanhagen, I wouldn't put him in the bracket with Holloway, Ortega, Aldo, and Sung. Not yet, anyway. Would you? Let me know in the comments. Would you put Corey Sanhagen in the bracket with those elite guys? And if the answer is no, then I would ask, why is no one giving Frankie Edgar a chance in this fight when he only gets beaten by the absolute top of that division? And he is 3-1 against, plus 4 for Frankie Edgar is goddamn disrespectful. If you think that Frankie Edgar hasn't got a chance in this fight, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. And it's just, yeah, I am taking Frankie Edgar just to win, because I think it's most likely going to be a decision, but... it's only 6.5-1, I think, or 6-1. The odds are all up here. I forget, but it's six. It's something like 6.5-1 to or plus 650 for the decision. And since he's only he's plus 4 just to get the win. You might as well just, you know, mitigate, like, because anything can happen if he gets knockout or whatever. So yeah, so I'm taking Frankie Edgar in this fight, and it's not just because he's an underdog. It's because I think he has a bloody good chance, because he is an elite level fighter, and I don't quite think that Sanhagen is there yet. So Frankie Edgar to win, flat, terrible bet. And then we've got the main event of the evening. Happy birthday to me. It's my birthday today, and I get to watch one of my favorite all-time heavyweights, Mr. Alistair Overeem, take on Alexander Volkov in the heavyweight main event, because we love a heavyweight fight here. Who doesn't love a heavyweight fight? Now, Overeem, he's making one last ditch attempt at getting a title. You know, for me, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I would love to see Overeem just get that belt wrapped around his waist and then walk off into the sunset. He's already one of the most decorated strikers in the history of the sport. There was a time when he was the Dream heavyweight champion, the Strikeforce heavyweight champion, and the K1 kickboxing heavyweight Grand Prix champion all at the same time, right? When he was the champion in, like, Strikeforce, was he on, like, some of the special sauce? Yeah, probably a lot of it. But it doesn't change the fact that he is an absolute wrecking machine. It's like, you look at what he did to guys like Brett Rogers. Brett Rogers was supposed to be, like, the next big thing, and Overeem just fucking demolished him. What even happened to Brett Rogers? Did he go to prison? I'm going to have to look that up. I'll have a look into that next week. But what happened to Brett Rogers? Let me know in the comments. Is Brett Rogers in prison? For some reason, I feel like he's in prison. Please, for the love of God, let me know in the comments. I don't want to have to rely on Google. I think you guys should help me out here. So yeah, as a birthday gift to me, all I want is for you to let me know in the comments what happened to Brett Rogers. Right? And yeah, so Overeem against Volkov. A lot of people will be counting Overeem out of this, because Overeem, his recent record is not as bad as you think. It really isn't. He's beaten Walt Harris. Obviously, he got knocked out off of Francis Ngannou. Everyone remembers that knockout, but who doesn't get, like, Joey? Look, that's always a chance that you take with Francis Ngannou. He was beating Jairzinho Rozenstruik. The whole way through that fight, he was beating Jairzinho Rozenstruik, and I think that was a bad stoppage. It was, because the thing is the referee, like, jumped in before, like, all that punch did was it knocked, like, Overeem down. It busted his lip was so bad. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't know if there was time necessarily for Rozenstruik to even finish the fight from that position, because it was literally in the dying seconds of the last round of a fight that he was on the losing end of. And I think that Overeem would have won that on the scorecards pretty easily, but, like, it's not like he wasn't knocked out. He wasn't. Like, he got knocked down and he was looking up and the referee, like, stepped in and called it. Now, Overeem didn't complain at the time, because I just think he's like, well, you know, it is what it is. But I think that, you know, he kind of had a right to complain, because I don't think that was a good stoppage. I really don't. But either way, let's, like, Johnny, that doesn't change. Let's move forward, because he's got a test in front of him this weekend, right? Now, Volkov, Alexander Volkov is a very polished striker. He's extremely good, right? Volkov, I love him as a heavyweight. He's brilliant. He's just the, you know, giant Russian cat. And he tends to hit more with volume and with technique than with one-punch power, because Overeem has had trouble in the past with, like, these big one-punch, like, powerhouses like your Ngannous. Walt Harris caught him with a good one, but over people keep questioning Overeem's chin. If his chin was that bad, then Walt Harris would have put him away. You know what I mean? And he came back and he won that fight with vicious ground and pound. And Volkov, he is an excellent kickboxer. I mean, well, I watched Volkov live a couple of years ago in London, where he took on Fabricio Werdum, and he smashed Werdum. He knocked him out real nice. But Fabricio Werdum's kickboxing is not on the level of Alistair Overeem's. It just isn't. Overeem is one of the most decorated strikers in the history of the heavyweight division. And you don't get that by accident. You just don't, right? So I don't think there's anywhere this fight goes that really where Overeem hasn't got a chance to win it. I think if it stays on the feet, I think Overeem has as good a chance as Volkov of getting the win. But I don't think it stays there, because I think Overeem has got a fantastic guillotine. Don't forget that. He has got some really sick submissions on him. I don't think there's going to be an opportunity for a guillotine. I might be wrong, but that's, you know, the plus nines over there. So that's not a terrible bet, because, like, you know, Overeem, he used to get submissions all the time. He used to love a good guillotine, but I just don't see that Volkov is necessarily going to shoot him for a takedown or present a position where it's going to present the guillotine. But I do see this going to the ground, because Overeem has started fighting much smarter. And you watch his last kind of, you know, like, his fights over the last kind of like 5 years or so. You see, it started with like Stefan Struve. He mixed in the takedowns far more. And he tends to, and people forget his ground and pound is absolutely brutal, because that is what he did to Brett Rogers. If my memory isn't failing me, like, he literally, you know, he got him to the ground. And then from half guard, top position, he can just rain down these strikes, because he's got this weird kind of length to his punches. So if he can get Volkov down and keep him in half guard, he can just rain down with punches all day. That's where I see this fight going. He's going to land some vicious ground and pound from half guard, top position. Overeem, by knockout, TKO, 3.75, so 2.75 to 1, circa 3 to 1-ish. That is a terrible bet that I am happy to put down. Overeem, knockout, KO, TKO, any of the above. So, all of those, you know, individually, I'm going to have a little go on them individually, but it's when you start combining these absolutely outrageous predictions together that you do start getting some really terrible bets. So, Marquez, submission, Edgar to win, Alistair Overeem by knockout / TKO, put them all together. What do you have there? You have a terrible bet at 97.50, so, you know, 96.5021. I'm definitely having a go on that. Boom. Happy birthday to me. Come on, have this come in. So, yeah. Obviously, we'll see how all those bets panned out next week. Tune into these fights, because this heavyweight fight, it's some of the highest level heavyweight MMA that you are likely to see. So don't miss it. I am going to enjoy the hell out of it. Malloy, you're welcome for me slicking my hair back. This was a request from a friend of mine who's an avid viewer. So shout out to Malloy. Thank you very much for my birthday present. He got me some delicious bourbon that looks way more delicious than proper 12. This isn't a proper 12 bashing contest, although it's not difficult to find whiskey that's better than proper 12. But yeah, that looks banging. I'm going to enjoy that later on tonight. Thank you very much for that. So you're welcome for the old slick back. This is going to be my new look, by the way, I think, because, yeah, why not? I figured maybe I'll start like gradually transforming into Triple H circa 1999. I mean, I'm going to have to work out a hell of a lot more, because he had a chest on him back then. Woo! Good Lord. But anyway, I'm babbling. So I'm going to go and enjoy the rest of my birthday. I'm going to have a couple of drinks. I'm going to look forward to these fights later. And yeah, be sure. But if you enjoy the content, please give me a like and give me a subscribe. And don't forget to tune in next week to see it where I went right with my bets and where I went wrong with my bets. But however you're betting, keep those odds long and those bets terrible. I'll catch you next time.